So today's daf is Tainas daf Yud. Tainas daf Yud. Daf Tes. I'm reading tomorrow's daf. Today's daf is Tainas daf Tes. We reached on Matzah Shabbos. We reached all the way down, about 15 lines down into Daf Tes. But I'm going to quickly go over the last Gemara just outside. Before that, one quick point of clarification, I'll call it. Maybe correction, but clarification. We discussed in the Gemara yesterday about the ways of davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it should be answered. Nisa levavenu el kapoyim. Kapoyim means the palms. The Gemara described the Lashon Pasuk of lifting our arms up when we daven, and we explained it to Remez that a person should be davening with his hands, everything is his heart and his hands in front of him. We interpreted that to mean kavana, davening with proper kivun, proper intent, being focused when one davens on the words. After the shir, Daniel Pesach, Danny pointed out to me that some of the first should learn that the Nisa Levein al Kapayim doesn't necessarily mean kavana, it means sincerity. We used to daven with a sincere heart. It's not far apart. Typically, if one davens with a sincere heart, he'll probably have kavanah, and vice versa, they may be related, but it is two different nekudas. Just to clarify, that's how the Mefarshim see Taicha, more a vert of sincerity than a vert of kivun. Okay, then we quote at the end of the daf four members from Rabbi Yochanan about how great the day of rain is. The day of rain is grain. It's as great as Kibbutz Goliath, the gathering and ingathering from Goliath. The day of rain is great. It's as great as it stops the army, the legions from moving along because the rain stops it from moving. The day of rain is grain. The day of rain is great. Well, actually, it only stopped. It stopped b'shvil what? We had a bunch of gemaras 2 days ago before Shabbos. On Erev Shabbos, why rain has stopped, various different reasons why rain is caused to stop stealing and many other reasons. The Gemara of Rabbi Yochanan brought another reason is because people pledge to give money by the appeals and then they don't honor that pledge. Anyway, so in that statement, Rabbi Yochanan's last statement that we quoted yesterday was that what's the pshat of the pasuk aser to aser? First words on top of this page, aser b'shvil tish aser. That once you give meiser, we're not going to be the old gemara inside. We're going to speak outside. Once you give meiser, and by giving meiser, he'll be zechet to ashiras. And we give meiser, be zechet to ashiras. So they had a story where Rabbi Yochanan's nephew, Rabbi Yochanan famously, he had his sister marry Rish Lakish. He was Makar Rish Lakish, who was a bandit, who was not an upstanding citizen. Rish Lakish took an interest in Rabbi Yochanan's beauty. He said, "Yeah, I have a sister who's more beautiful than I am. I'll give you as wife if you want to come do tshuva and learn Torah mitzvahs." And Rish Lakish indeed did so and became a Talmud Chaver, became the Bar Plugta of Rabbi Yochanan throughout Shas. His Chavrus, the one he always argued with, was Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish had a son, and Rish Lakish's son was quoting the pasuk of Aser to Aser, and he asked Rabbi Yochanan, "What does it mean?" And Rabbi Yochanan said, "This taich that give meiser and you'll become rich." And Rabbi Yochanan, the son, Rabbi Yochanan, Rish Lakish's son, said to Rabbi Yochanan, "How do you know?" He said, "Test it. Test it out." And Rish Lakish's son said, "You're allowed to test it out. There's an iser to test a Kadosh Baruch Hu." Rabbi Yochanan says, "B'chanuni gam b'zeis," quotes the pasuk, that with this thing, a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives a license. Test, and I'll give you bracha ad b'lidai. That is the upshot. There's a little more in the words there, but that's the basic synopsis of what happened. A couple of points on this aser taser before we go further. Again, we read it last night, but it's really today's daf, so we're not even fully behind. So what is the drasha of Aser Taser? What's the drasha of Aser Taser? So the pasha says the double lashon of Aser Taser. The problem is, Marsha points out that we darshan elsewhere, Aser Taser compares two types of maestros. Which types of maestros? Maestro Dagon and Maestro Behemoth. And actually, the next thing we'll focus on in a minute after this is that you don't find Maestro stuff on a Torah level. The Torah only references Maestro Dagon, Maestro of grains, and Maestro Behemoth, Maestro of animals. It doesn't reference anywhere but Farish, Maestro of profits, of business, of Ksafim, which is the only, I shouldn't say the only, but basically the only Maestro. And it's surely still meiser of grains, but meiser of behemoth. We certainly don't do today because of we don't have a base of to bring it to. It's just making a takala. But the point is, meiser ksafim is the meiser we have today. You don't find the perish anyway. Ask the Marsha that aser taser is already used. It teaches us that just like they're both meiser dug and meiser behemoth, you only take meiser from 1 year within that same year. So the produce that grew in 1 year, you take meiser. All the other produce that grew that year, you don't mix and match years. Similarly, Maiser Behemah, you don't mix and match years. There's different data we learn from Aser Taser related to Maiser Dagam and Maiser Behemah. How is it extra to teach me this drasha of Maiser Ksafim? So the answer they give to that is that that's the Shagazayas Kasha. I mixed up. That's not the Marsha. It's the Shagazayas. So Shagazayas answer is beautiful. A little chazar we had a couple bad ago. We had a few bad ago. What's the source of Nisach HaMayim? What's the source of Nisach HaMayim Minatayra? One of the sources we brought was, we shared a discussion if it's Mamish Minatayra or not, if it's Old Malachos Rishinah, it's just Asmachta. But what was the source? Hasech nesech. Hasach nesach b'shnei nisuchim because medaber the pasuk about two nisuchim nesach hamayim and nisach hayayin. Nisach hayayin is the obvious one. Also nisach hamayim. Ask the Gemara, maybe both are talking about nisach yayin. Both be nisach hayayin. It's just two different forms of nisach hayayin. Says Gemara, if it was two different forms of nisach hayayin, it should have just said hasach hasach or nesach nesach. What's hasach nesach? Switching of the words tells me that's two separate nisachim. And it's two different nesachim. One's mayim and one is yayin. That was more a couple of about back. Same idea, says Gevurah Zarei, says Shagazari. I don't know if it makes it Sushal, but it's an obvious one, says the Shagazari. Same idea over here too. Aser to Aser, if with Hakabi, just for the drushes of Maisa Bein, Maisa Nakan, comparing them, it would have said Aser, Aser, or Taser to Aser. Aser to Aser is giving me an extra diak to make a drusha to include also Maisa, our not so much Maisa Ksofim, but to include also this din of Asher, Aser, Beshvil, Shetaz Aser. This din of Aser, Beshvil, Shetaz Aser, give Maisa, and then you'll get back whatever you give. You'll get back, and you'll become even more wealthy. That is Nichol in the Pasuk as well, from the switching of the Lashon of Aser to Aser. The Mashas got was that we know that we have elsewhere in Tamar. Mamatsiya Tamar, in a few places in Shas, where the Mar discusses whether we say you can make a drasha of certain repetitions of words in the Torah, or do we say Dibra Torah? Kilashim Adam. The Torah sometimes we say speaks like Lashim Adam. Lashim Adam is to repeat the words, therefore you can make a drasha, or no? Like Dibra Torah Lashim Adam, therefore you can make the drasha. Says the Marsha, the Chayre, our sukkah over here, if you hold Dibra Torah Lashim Adam, you would have no drasha. Asatasir is not a dump, it's not a predicate Lashim. It's Lashim Adam, and it wouldn't be able to make a drasha. Says Masha, big aside. And I'm not sure if it's so simple that it works all over. I mean, so if Masha says that, obviously has to be an explanation how it works all over. But says the Masha that even the Ma'an number says Dibra Torah Lashim Adam, and therefore you don't have to make a drasha. It's not always extra for drasha. It doesn't mean you can't. Meaning if I have the opportunity to make a drasha, if there's an opportunity, we would make the drasha. It just means you're not forced to darshan. What's the double lush? You're not forced to. You have the option to such an idea. Again, in some places, if I remember correctly, more asked as a kasha. How do we know this? What do you mean I know it? You have the option. So either I'm missing something in the marsha or I'm missing something in those gemaras. But again, the marsha's just over here is that if it's, just, it's an option, it's not an obligation. That's the marsha's you say. We don't need to make a drasha. We can. The misplaces has a much more simple teret. Rabbi Yechanan is the author of this memra, Aser to Aser, and Rabbi Yechanan holds Leit Dibritar Kadosh Adam. So it's perfect. Kash never starts. If you hold Leit, right? If you hold Leit Dibritar Kadosh Adam, their repetition is not excusable by Lashem Adam, and therefore that's Peshat. Why make a drush over here? Rabbi Yechanan says, the Kash doesn't mean get off the ground. I guess the Marsha wanted a Shtim, even not Rabbi Yechanan, Lishita, even if you go not like Rabbi Yechanan Shita in Dibritar Kadosh Adam. Back to the general idea of Astaser. So we've discussed that the simple touch of Meister in the Torah is Meister Dagon or Meister Behema. Meister Ksofim we don't really find. And you don't find it clear. We find a couple weeks ago, Yaakovina says that Kol Shatitin li Aser Asranulach, Kol Shatitin li Aser Asranulach. But still, they don't make it as a clear. That's Yaakov personally saying it, not a clear drusha for a mitzvah of Meister and Klai. So they say it's a rem, that could be one of the mekarbis for it, that's the like a remes for it, the idea. But the Taisus, top Taisus brings a Sefri. Basis is free, and this is free. The top line of Taisus, top Taisus says, starting for the last words of the line, Aset Aset is cult voice. As cult voice, says Taisus, jump down through the next line. Ainli Ella Tvua Zarecha, Shechai Meiser, Ribis, Machmatria, other prophets, either interest, business, Kol Shah Ravacha Menayan, Tamalemer, Eskol. Eskol tells me, could just said, what's Eskol? Le Rabbis, Ribis, Pramachi, V'chol, Dovish, Rebeach. It comes to include all prophets. So Sefri is making a clear drush in the Pasuk. Eskol is called to Marba, all prophets. And there's a din of Meiser on all Kesef, not just Meiser Bein, not just Meiser Dagon. There's a din of Meiser Ksofim on money. There's a din, sounds like a derisive din of Meiser based on this drusha from the Sefri. However, the Bach in your day, Simishim Lamalf prays clearly that Maisa Ksofim is not Minat Torah. It's not even Midarbanan, he writes. It's not Midarbanan, and that seems to be the Malach of many of the places. It's not Midarbanan. Even Yaakovinu is the source for the Minig. It's a Minig based on the actions of Yaakovinu, but it's no, the Minig of Maisa Ksofim, but it's not known, no, it's a beautiful Minig. It's a beautiful Hanhaga, and that seems to be the practice of Klal Yisrael at large. But that's what it is. It's a Minig, not a Daraisa, not a Darbanan. That's the Bach. Shus Yaakov wants to shtim the Sefri. Not Shtim, the Sefri. Answer what the Bach does with the Sefri. You want to say, Lamaisa Bavli never brings it. It's a beautiful Sefri Taisus is bringing, but the fact that Talmud Bavli not in one place brings this drusha to have a dinner, Maisa Ksof and Daraisa, that's why the Bach says it's a nice Sefri, but we clearly don't go with it because the Bavli never brings it. The Shuvah Mar Mumberg also says it's only a minig, like we're saying for the Bach. The base mayor says that even the Bach agrees that there's no absolute chiyuv, like Maisa Dog and Maisa Beima, but But perhaps there's a chiyuv once you're past that. Meaning by Maisa Dagon, Maisa Behema, the halacha is that 10% of the animal is Maisa Behema. 10% of the grain is Maisa. What if the guy can't make his own ends meet? He needs 1,000 bushels of grain to live for the year for his family, and he only has 900. It doesn't give him a dispensation not to give any Maiser. He still has to give Maiser Dagon because 10% is Maiser. Pay him also, even if he doesn't have enough, he gives Maiser, and then has to go figure out other ways to borrow, to get take staka, but it doesn't absolve him from the dinner Maiser. Maiser Ksafim, it could be that's what it means. The Chi of Maiser doesn't even start till the person has what he needs. The Chi of Maiser, perhaps, Maiser Ksafim. And that's what it means, but maybe after that, and a Hanami, once a person has that basic amount, maybe after that Maiser Ksafim, that could be a distinction. I forgot what the base mayor wants to say in the Bach, how the Bach wouldn't necessarily have to be completely like this for free, just means that first level you don't have by Maisa Ksafim, perhaps. This is a discussion, of course, what can be included in Maisa Ksafim, obviously very relevant, Maisa Bechayim, whether supporting, forget about tuitions for children in schools, but what about supporting, simply giving mezainis, giving a house for one's children are dependent on the parents, is that considered an obligation outside of Maisa Ksafim, or that can be included in Maisa Ksafim? There's room to be makel, especially if one has this mind from the beginning. Again, so the whole thing's a minig. So if he has a mind from the beginning, when he takes on this minig, that's what he's going to do. He's going to include it. It could be there's certainly makot yivekel. Rav Meisha just brings, interesting, he brings an addendum to the Sifri that it's not just money. The drush of the Sifri is eskol. Eskol is eskol's vrascha, but eskol comes to include everything. Whatever resources a person has, his time. What if he has talent? He has time, he has talent, not just money. He should be giving off Torah. If a person has knowledge in Torah, and there's people around them who have less knowledge, it's relevant to everybody, so they should be giving off 10% of their learning time, of the time they would dedicate to learning, 10% is the amount that should be going to teaching others, giving to others. And Rav Meisha writes, by the same token, we know, one should not give more than 20% because he makes up charata, he loses money, make up charata. When it comes to this as well, you'll have the same limit. He doesn't have to give more than 20% of his time to teaching others, but in between 10 and 20%, that would be the sweet spot one should do with other resources as well. Very interesting for Rav Meisha. Okay, so I know it's quite a bit sidetracked, but yeah.
So this bracha
that
wouldn't transfer. Oh,
excellent point. I'm glad you brought it up. So this morning, I was taking it for granted, the morning share, I was taking it for granted that Asot Aser, just because the Sifri jumps in and it goes into Maisek Safim, and that's the focus, I kind of followed suit and understood that whole Shaka B'Tariya is actually focused more Aser, B'Shul Shas Aser. Also, man, I'm so used to the appeals, and I'm saying it using this Lashon by the appeals, give Staka, and you'll get Aser, B'Shul Shas Aser. So my understanding is this whole Gemara was going with Maisek Safim, and therefore the Sifri is, and this promise applies to regular Maaser and regular Tzedakah. That is the simple way that I understood this whole Gemara. Again, maybe I was colored from different usages of Asat Aser in the past, prior to this Gemara, but that's how I understood it. The Maisa, I was doing a recanter today, he pointed out that it's black and white. It's a discussion in the next Kehan Ben Shulchan Aruch, in Simon. Again, I think it's Mirish Al-Madal, but I've got to check but in Yerdea, there's a discussion in the Nice Kalim over there. Is this Taka Din Dafka by Meiser Dagon and Meiser Behema? Dafka there, you have the Asat Aser. That's what the Pasuk is talking about. Like we're saying, you don't find Meiser Ksafim at the next level. The Drush is there, and Dafka there, Becharuni Gambazais applies Dafka there, and you cannot apply it to regular Tztaka. Or no, it applies even to regular Tztaka. It's the Machlekes, a discussion in the Achrenim. But again, some of the Nice Kalim on the Pisach Juva. The Pisach Juva already brings on the Ramah. On the Ramah over there in that halacha, again, I forgot exactly what I think it's Rabbi Shlomo, but the Pesach Shuvah brings on that halacha very clearly that it's dafka by Maisa Behema and Maisa Dagon and not Maisa Ksafim. Interesting. Others, I think, take it to argue. I actually had a story once we brought this up this morning with the first Shechtel Shlita in town for a wedding. So I had heard from NC brought down, I have the safe in my house, but I didn't see it inside, in the safe in Nefesh Rav, which really quotes a lot of the Hugus and the things that he saw by the Rav. He brings that the Rav was very makkah when he got an aliyah, that the Mishaberich, after aliyah should say, Bavur Shenadar to give tzedakah, like very specific tzedakah, and not Bavur he didn't like these other mischoyas where maybe he should get merit his whatever bracha was being given to him, he should merit that bracha on the schus of anything else other than tzedakah. Why? Because of our Gemara. You can only test a Kaddish Baruch Hu, so to speak, with tzedakah, nothing else. Not only tzedakah, nothing else. So 2 points to that. So I actually asked Rav Shach this morning, I said, I understand. You're not testing. You're saying, here, in the merit of this mitzvah, let me get that. But you're not testing. It doesn't mean if I don't get it, it's a test. Over here, we're saying, you can test. I'm going to give staka, and I'm going to get it back. We can test. Over there, it wasn't a test. So I didn't first say what the whole hanagah was. So he told me I'm wrong. He said, saying, let me do this, and the merit of this mitzvah, this act, whatever good deed I'm doing. Sometimes people learn, they pledge black gemara. In the merit of these 10 black gemara, I should get whatever schus it is. That's a form of testing as well. Just because you're not making a tully in a tanai, that's also a form of testing, and you cannot do that. He said, you can't do that. You can't make, that would be a problem of chrunigam bezeis. I couldn't believe it. I was very surprised. But he said, that would be a problem of chrunigam bezeis. But the 2 points I see from this, again, I'll bring a maisa rav, it's a maisa from Yashaver. The 2 points we see from the story is that clearly they're learning that the chrunigam bezeis talking about stucca. That's a maisa. That's a Maiser Dagon, that's a Maiser Behema, and then connecting it, right, in the face, again, I didn't see inside, but I did hear it, and I asked her Shechta, and he jumped right in, he knew clearly what I was talking about, that he corroborated the story, that the Rav was very makban on this. It sounds like he's being makban on Chanuni Gambazayis, but he's saying, for Tztuk, it's okay. Sounds like he's saying it's okay for Tztuk, not like this Pashas on the Pesach Tshuva, number one. Number two is they also discuss, is it okay for brachas outside of money? Meaning the test is, I'm going to give Tztuk money, and I'll get back Tztuk on my not tzedakah, but I'll get back more money to do more tzedakah. There's a lot of reading on that as well. We don't have time for that. But this idea that if you're a proper shamer with the Shemesh Kav has a whole piece on this. If you're a proper shamer with the gelt, therefore that's why Kosh Baruch Hu chooses to give you more gelt. He has an idea that has nothing to do with the person's other actions. The person could be a tzaddik, he could be a Russia. It could be a Russia, maybe not, but he could be not an upstanding citizen. If he's good with tzedakah and money, you'll see him be matzliach ad ma'ein. Often, and you'll wonder why is the guy, because he gives money. And Akash Baruch Hu, this guy knows how to give his money away, I'm going to give him more money. Shemesh Gav. Anyway, point is, this is over money related. To say that when we ask for Misha Berech, we ask for Brias, for health, for other things, that's the price, that certainly does not seem to be part of the Chanuni. The Chanuni is Aser, Bishos is Aser. Give money, and you'll get back money. Doesn't seem like this promise works for other elements besides money. We will have an Agamara, and the Mars will say very clearly that without proper health, what's the mile of the bracha of money? It doesn't work anyway, so it could be something like that. But the point is, you see that it sounds like he's saying b'chununi, A, for ma'isik safim, number one, and B, the bracha of the Mishnah Berach, I don't remember the exact nusach, but the Mishnah Berach is not just about money, it's about other things as well, and he still held that's okay with the concept of the chununi, l'chayr. Okay, says more. One other point, we said, what's b'lidai? We said, ad b'lidai, actually, the sevzeichim lemme die, technical question. When we say, the lips are worn out from saying the word die, again, so much money, so much assets, the person has so much bracha, he's going to say die. So the question is, the mouth, the Gemara also describes which words are voiced with which parts of the mouth. Die is the tongue and the mouth, the teeth. Die, you don't use lips at all. So it's a funny punct. Your lips will become worn out from saying the word die. Die doesn't use the lips. So it's just a very simple technical question. Says the Achrayim, two answers. One is, enachrami. There's a concept that if one has something and doesn't use it, it becomes atrophies. The muscles stop working. It's the other way. You're going to not use it. You'll be so busy saying the word die and nothing else, and the word die doesn't need the lips. And that's why the lips will be used up. A little bit of a deichik. Others say it means the other words that the person says with die. That he's going to say die about this, die about that, die about all the things that he has, and the other words said with die will cause the lips to be worn out. The simple side is it's a drush. It's a drush. The kasha is just not in the first place. But okay, technical question, I'm going to answer it, so I figured it would be nice to bring up. Okay, says them more further. We're up to the next story with Rabbi Yechanan and his nephew and Rish Lakish's son. This is Vesu Eshchei Rabbi Yechanan, the Yenuka Rish Lakish. It's the second one in the line, Vesu, roughly 15 lines down at the top of the page. Vesu Eshchei Rabbi Yechanan, the Yenuka, we're a little late in time-wise, but we're not too far behind in the daf again. It's Agada, the whole daf is Agada, it goes fast. Vesu Eshchei Rabbi Yechanan, the Yenuka Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yechanan found the child of Rish Lakish's nephew, the Yosef Amar Balt Ivelas Adam Tisav Takai. The person who's a fool who does bad things, he misbehaves, and brings him out to punishment. And then he blames Hashem for the punishment. He's the one that does that favor. He blames Hashem for the punishment instead of accepting responsibility for his own misdeeds. Yosef Rabbi Yechon becomes Tamei. Rabbi Yechon was sitting and wondering, Amar, he said as follows, is there a concept that's written in Ksuvim, Blair Mizbe Raisa? Is there anything written in Ksuvim which is not Merumbez Bedraisa? There's a concept born in Chazal that, and Meitzah Mashiach, when we have the full Vaslavai, when we have the full grasp and the full understanding of Torah, we no longer have Nivim Ksuvim. We won't have Nivim Ksuvim anymore. Why? Because Nivim Ksuvim, everything written there, is somehow Merumbez in the Torah. So if you have the Torah in its complete understanding, every nuance of the Torah, we'll be able to, we no longer need Nevi'im and Ksuvim because it'll be so clear in the Torah. It's such a concept. Similar idea to what they say about the Mishnayos and the Braises, that eventually when we have the full grasp of the Mishnayos in its full glory, we won't need the Braises anymore because the Braises really to explain the Mishnayos and the Mishnayos really all encompassing. Similar idea. Okay, so Rabbi Yechon says, we know for sure everything in Nevi'im Tzuvim is merumis in the Torah. Where is this merumis, this idea that a person will do a chait, and he's going to get punished, and then blame Hashem, or blame others for the punishment, not take responsibility. Amalei, so this young boy said, it doesn't say how young he was actually, he's called Inuka, so he must be pretty young. The young boy says to Rabbi Yechon, Atu Hamilei Bumizi, is there a remes? V'achsev is coming up in a couple weeks from now, in the Parsha. V'yetzi Libam, V'yechud Yishal Achiv Leimar, their hearts went out of their bodies, their hearts fell, and they got afraid, and they said to each other, Mazais Asal Kimanu. This is talking about when they found the gold in their sacks, or the kais. We know the stories of the brothers by Meirish, by Yosef, when they found the different findings in their sack that would render them guilty and they get into trouble. They said, Mazais Asal Kimanu, what Hashem do to us? What Hashem do to them? Hashem did it to them because of what they did to Yosef. So here we see there's misdeeds, they did Averis, and then they blamed it, instead of taking responsibility when it happened, they blamed it on Hashem. So, Dal Einai, Rabbi Yechon lifted up his eyelids. Rabbi Yechon had very heavy eyelids. He used to use like combs to pick up his eyelids. His famous Gemara said when he was upset at someone, actually one of them being his own brother, Rosh Lakish, when he was upset, he lifted his eyelids and looked, what some Gemara discussed about people becoming Gal Shel Tzomeis, a pile of bones. I don't think that Gemara is said about Rosh Lakish per se, but there are Gemara's about Rabbi Yechon looking at someone who turned into a pile of bones. But he did look at Rosh Lakish. Gemara paid Dalma Vitzi, will be very relevant in the next two lines. He looked at Rosh Lakish with those combed up eyelids. He looked at Rish Lakish, and he looked at Rish Lakish because he was upset, because Rish Lakish gave a mashmayas that he wasn't happy. Referenced before how Rabbi Yechon was makar of him, gave him his sister to marry, brought him on the derech, taught him his Torah, he became his chavrus, he became a gadol tam chaver, and he wasn't fully happy, appreciative of what Rabbi Yechon had done. Rabbi Yechon took it as a slight. He looked at Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish ultimately got sick from the gazing of Rabbi Yechon. He got sick and he died. Says the Gemara, because Rabbi Yechon was looking at the child, Asya Ime, who's Rabbi Yechon's own sister, the mother of this child came, Afikte, took the son away. Armalei, she said to the son, Tamakame, come quickly away from Rabbi Yechon, the Lavalach, the Tavalavos, he shouldn't do to you like he did to your father. I don't want the same outcome that we had over there, Bamasir Bidalan. So the mother came and grabbed the son to protect him from Rabbi Yechon. Interesting, 2 points in this. First of all, just general points. Related to Rabbi Yechonon and this story that we just quoted. Point number one is Rabbi Yechonon, we know, had 10 sons. Nebuchadnezzar died. He used to walk around with the Dane Garmi discussion, what it means. Garmi Pasha means the bone. How to walk around with the bone. Bone is it needs to be buried. It's the tumba, but also it's the bone of a person, of one of the children. They say maybe it means the tooth or the nail. Shaila what it means, but he used to say Dane Garmi Dasiri Beer. He used to go and be Menachem of people that lost their children or a child and say, this is the remnants of my 10th child that was nifter. And that was his way of being menachem them. You can get past it, you can get through it. We don't know why Kadosh Baruch Hu does things, but it doesn't mean you can't survive. Yet, the same Rabbi Yechon who had the kayach to walk around after losing 10 children and be menachem others in their loss, what does he say about losing Rish Lakish after Rish Lakish was nifter? Just the addendum to the story, we just referenced it. After Rish Lakish was nifter, he says, Ay chavrusa, I'm a Susa. He couldn't live. And he ended up dying. He has to take him out of this world. He ended up leaving the world. He lost Reish Lakish, lost Chavrusa, he couldn't live. This is someone who buried 10 children, 10 sons. He buried 10 sons, and he was able to move on. He had a Chavrusa, he couldn't go weiter. He lost Reish Lakish, he couldn't move on. He couldn't go weiter. Unbelievable concept of where Bechem was holding. It's basically unfathomable for us, that level of dedication just to Torah, and not having his chavrusa to go back to a Torah, he couldn't be around. Point number one. Point number two is, Rabbi Yechonon was known to be one of the most beautiful men in the world. Rabbi Yechonon, there's multiple gemaras about this, the story we just said, Rish Lakish saw how beautiful Rabbi Yechonon was, he was attracted to him as a male, and Rabbi Yechonon says, I'll give you, remember Rish Lakish wasn't an upstanding citizen at that point, Rabbi Yechonon says, I'll give you my sister if you're ready to come, become an upstanding citizen, right? So, Rabbi Yechonon used to sit outside the bath, outside the mikvah. Rabbi Yechonon was a very handsome man. Interesting, over here we see, there's a Gemara, I think elsewhere, says Rabbi Yechonon was a very big balbasser. He was very heavy. Pretty sure we had a Gemara somewhere. Rabbi Yechonon was very heavy. Here we have a Gemara, and Rabbi Yechonon had massive eyebrows, eyelids, eyelashes, whatever it is, and they had to comb them away so we could see. Right? It's just a very clear, interesting point that apparently what was considered beautiful back then may not be the same thing as considered beautiful today. It would seem pretty obvious it wasn't the exact same metrics that we use today. Okay. Says more from Rabbi Yechonon. Another member of Rabbi Yechonon. Matar b'shul Yachad. And this is the last one of these members of Rabbi Yechonon. We quoted by four yesterday or five yesterday. Here's number six. Amar Rabbi Yechonon. Matar b'shul Yachad. Rain comes in the schus of one person. Parnas b'shul Rabin. Rain comes in the merit of one person. Parnas comes in the merit of the Rabin. In the merit of the many. So you, meaning you wouldn't just, it wouldn't have parnasa coming just for one. Rain, what's supposed to come, will come just on the merit of one. The merit means, psukkah to back it up. Matav shiyachad achsev, yiftach Hashem l'chay esetzer ha'tev l'seis mitar, artzecha, so very singular l'shoinus, l'cha, esetzer ha'tev l'seis mitar, artzecha, right? All rain for the person's specific private land. Parnasa v'shul rabim, achsev hini imam te lechem, lechem, this is talking about by the man, Hashem says it's going to rain down for you, for plural, for the tzibur, rain, man, min ha'shamayim, so we see parnasa, which is the man represents parnasa, that's for the masses, that's only for the tzibur, whereas rain, Hakadosh Baruch Hu could be going to rain even for Yachid for a specific person's need. Meisvei. The Gemara says, "Gosh, now this Meisvei will take us straight to the Bamei Laman." The Gemara is going to go through first a brace that describes the benefits that Klai Yisrael had in the schus of Miriam, in the schus of Aaron, in the schus of Moshe, and through that conversation we'll get to a question that parnasa could be in the schus, it could be out one person. Let's see. There were three leaders, not just leaders, supporters that stood up for Klai Yisrael. Elohim, Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. They have Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, the Gematanus Tevis, and three wonderful gifts were given to Klai Yisrael on their merit. These are them, Be'er, Vanan, Mun, the bearer of Mayim. That was those was Miriam, the Anan, the cloud of protection. That was in the Schus Aaron. We had that in Rosh Hashanah. Uman, and the Man is Schus Moshe. Says Gemara, Beret Bishus Miriam, Aman Bishus Aaron, Man Bishus Moshe, Mesa Miriam is Salika Bear. When Miriam was Nifteres, the bear disappeared. Shenamar v'tamas shem Miriam v'chsev b'sprasrei v'leishar b'aleida. Miriam was nifteres and there was no mayim for the eida v'chazer, but it came back with shneim. Meish and Aaron was still alive and the well came back in the merit of Meish and Aaron. Meish Aaron nisavkan on a coven. Aaron was nifter and then on a coven disappeared. Shenamar v'yishmer kani melcharod. The kani melcharod heard mashmo sham. What did he hear? Was it Kanani? Was it Melcharod? Who was it? Who Sichon? Who Kanan? Who Arad? Rosh Hashanah. We just had this less than I should say less than 30 days. It's actually about 35 days ago. Daf Gimel of Rosh Hashanah. Who Knani, who Arad, who Sichon, Mashmu Hashem, what he hear? Shamash Beis Aaron. He heard the Aaron okay, was lifter, then it's Talkin on the Coven. And the Anani Coven had disappeared because Sover, if the Anani Coven disappeared, the Anani of protection, Nitin Lele Rishus Lechem Yisrael, must be his permission now to wage war with Klai Yisrael, Vahayini Vichsiv, Vahirakol Eidik Yav Aaron. That's what it means, the Pasuk means where it says, Vahirakol Eidik Yav Aaron. The simple text means that the Eid, the whole Eid saw, Vahiru, they saw, Kol Eidik Yav Aaron, the Aaron was lifter, they saw, Kiyo means that. They all saw that Aaron was lifter. That's a simple reading of the pasuk. Amarvo, I'll take we vayiru, don't read vayiru, ella vayiru. So, it's funny, I think I'm even as recent as this morning, I attached it wrong. I attached told me to vayiru, they saw as ella vayiru, they were afraid. Which makes sense in the context, right? It makes sense in the context. They were afraid because and ki doesn't mean that. Ki means because. That's going to be the same. Kedarish Rishlakish. We'll just finish the sentence first. Kedarish Lakish. Kedarish Rishlakish. Ki masham mishamish barb l'shenis. Ki can have four different l'shenis. E, if, dilma, maybe, perhaps. Ella, but, and deha means because. So don't read it that the Eda saw that Aaron was nifter. Rather, read it that the Eda, the Taishti say, is not what I said. I would say they were afraid. But rather, they touched us. It appeared. The Eid appeared. They became seen. Not that they saw. They became seen. They became seen. The Anani Kavod was protecting them. They became seen. And why did they become seen? Key is because. Not that they became seen because Aaron was nifter. I just checked it up again this morning. This afternoon, the Gemara Marshana Daf Gimel, the Gemara over there, the first Rashi of the page says Vayiro means Vayiskalu. They became revealed. So Vayiro means that the nation became revealed. So not that they saw. Rather, they became seen. Right, they became seen. Now that the Anani stopped protecting them, I thought I still like. Maybe the dictate just doesn't work, but I still like the taich of they became afraid. It's, I think a very appropriate taich. They became afraid because Aaron was nifter. Why? Because they no longer had the Anan. Maybe both are true. I didn't see anyone say it, but it does make a lot of sense. Okay. Either way, the point is when Aaron was nifter, the Anani cover was gone. Chazal Shem 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 still. The Be'er now, which was a B'schus, had been B'schus Miriam. And then had been B'schus Moshe and Aaron. It came back now solely B'schus Moshe. And the Anan, which was B'schus Aaron, came back now solely B'schus Moshe. And of course, the mom was still there. Chazr Shem B'schus Moshe, Meis Moshe Saka Kulon, Moshe Miriam was Nifter, all were gone. The well, the Anan Yekovet, and the man. Shinemarva. Evchad, Eshleshes, Aroyim, Yerachachad. I'll lose all three Royim, all three shepherds. I'll lose in 1 month. That sounds like Meshach and Miriam. The three shepherds were nifter in 1 month. Chivirachach Meisav was the truth. They nifter 1 month. Vaalei Miriam Meis Benisan. Miriam was nifteres in Nisan. Aaron Baav. It's a fresh pasuk in Bamidbar. Both those Aaron and Av. Also, that's actually we quoted that. That's what we needed for when we're quoting it in Rosh Hashanah to know to demonstrate whether Av and the subsequent Tevis, I think it was, or Shvat, Tevis, were from the same year or from a different year. If Tishrei was Rosh Hashanah, then it would have been that the Tevis following Av would have been from the following year. That was like a murder there. But the point is, Aaron was lifted in the 5th month, in the year Chamishi, the 5th month. That's Av. Okay, Umayshav Adar. We know Umayshav is if to Zayin Adar. So it's Nisan, Av, and Adar, not Yerech Echad. I'm Lamish. It's about to come on Tavis. shenanu ayadam. The three wonderful matanas that came in their merit were all gone in the same month, at the same time. Meaning, because they all ultimately still they were hanging on through Moshe, and they all lost in the same month. Okay, we quoted all this to one point. The man came b'schus Moshe. The man was actually the example we brought for Parnasa. We said Parnasa doesn't come b'schus one person; it comes for the rabbim. Hini mamte lechem lechem l'shmayim. Yet we see over here the man came b'schus Moshe is one person. We see from this whole long brisa that you can't Parnasa b'shul yachin. Answers the Gemara: Shiny Moshe came to a rabbim hubai ki rabbim dami. Moshe is different because since Moshe. The simple gears we have is since he davened for the rabbim, he's like the rabbim. Since he davened for the rabbim, he's like the rabbim. The Mishnah pick brings on the side. He brings another girsa. Kivin the alum schusik rabbim. Since he has so much schus, he's like a rabbim. So you can say since he davened for the rabbim, he was the leader of the rabbim. He has so much schus like rabbim. Moshe Rabbeinu represents the rabbim. It's not the first time we had this idea. Just in the past 2-3 weeks. Remember we had this? We had this a couple weeks ago. We were discussing the nusach of tefillah. I couldn't remember exactly what that was, but the latter part of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, we discussed the nusach of tefillah, the psukim that we quote for zechrinus. Different psukim go for zechrinus, and we discussed that we can quote psukim not just the word beschira, psukim have the word pekida, pakad also, because lashon of remembering, and psukim have the word pekida could also be used in the psukim of the 10 psukim that we wanted to speak out by zechrinus and Shemoneh Esrei on Rosh Hashanah or in Kippur by Yevil. And the Gemara then makes a qualification that it's got to be dafka a pakad that's a pakad the rabbim. A pakida sent by the rabbim, it's got to be only pakida the rabbim can be used. If it's a pakida of the yachid, can't be used. Ask the Gemara, but what do you mean? Hashem pakad asara is one of the psukkah that we quote, that's a pakida of the yachid. And the Gemara answers, since asara was the aim of Klal Yisrael, that's called the pakida the rabbim. Very similar to this idea of Yabam Moshe, not exactly the same. I think it's a similar connection to a certain leaders representing being considered like a rabbim. Okay, Rafuna Bar Menayach, once we brought this topic, now we get sidetracked. It, within the Agadah, we're getting sidetracked for 10-15 lines. We just spoke about the three shepherds of Klal Yisrael, Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. The main point actually is the pasuk we discussed that they all were lost in 1 month. The three shepherds lost in 1 month. We're going to have another drasha with this, with a story where this pasuk comes in as well. So these three, Amram, having shrichi kamei de Rava, they will tell midim of Rava. Whenever a papa would say a shmaita, which did not seem logical to them, whenever there was a shmaita or papa toah, which again, they were very used to Rava's logic, and whenever they saw a shmaita, they have a papa toah, which they didn't agree to lot so much, they'd make like, you know, facial expressions, they make motions to each other, and Rav Papa caught on to it. Your papa saw it. Cholash died, your papa had klisha sadas over the season's youth. He was bothered by it. Top of a base, akri b'chalmei. So the pasuk they read for a papa in his dream was for efkel shoshes rayim. I have removed the three shepherds in 1 month. The mashmais for papa in his dream was these three talmidim were going to be removed from him. Right? Sounds like they're going to be removed from the world. They're going to be punished and removed from the world for the fact that they were being embarrassing him. Top Rashi says it pretty clearly. Mishum de mechas filei. They're going to be einish min shmayim. L'machor kev mafter minei. The next day when they took leave of him, Amarlu, he said to them, leizlu rabbanim b'shalma. He said a bracha. Go, the Rabbanah should go in peace. There's actually a big shaila what the gear says. Is it laser Rabbanah bishalma or laser Rabbanah lishalma? What's the difference between bishalma and lishalma? It's a fair Gemara. Here she had not so long ago, right at the end of Brachas. You had it in your morning curl, and then the brachas of Samach Dalin, the Gemara discussed over there, we all had it, in Daf, not so long ago, brachas of Samach Dalin, where the Gemara discusses that a person who's living from a mace, he says, Lech Bishalim. He's living from a live person, Lech Lishalim. So it's really a question of Gears over here too. If your papa's giving them a bracha that they shouldn't suffer the punishment that he foresaw in his dream, then he said the Gears would be Lech Lishalim. He's specifically saying, Lech Lishalim. If the pshat is that he saw it was a done deal in his dream, and unfortunately because they insulted him, because they embarrassed him, they were going to be leaving, and they were not going to be returning, then the girsa would be Leich Bishlam. One point I forgot to point out before about source for Shlakish, his son, brought a source from the brothers and the Amtachas by the finding the money or the kais in their sacks, that they blamed it on Hashem. They said, Mazal Yisrael Shalakim Lanu, right? So we said that was a source, that concept that was brought in that Rabbi Yechanan brought the pasuk in Nach. And he said, is there a source in the Torah? And Rosh Hashanah's son found the source. So Marsha's bothered. He says, Shtaka Kasha. What's the next, not the next, Mamash, next Pasuk, but what do they say right nearby? Aval Hashem Manachnu. They took blame. They took the blame for it. They said, Aval Hashem Manachnu. If they took the blame for it, so then why then why is it a taina that they, meaning we're trying to find people that instead of taking responsibility, they skirted the responsibility and they shifted the blame. Why is Kashmir doing this to me? They took the blame. They said Av Hashem
Menachnu. But it was reflexive.
Meaning? Excellent. That's Mashiach's answer. Very good. Very good. That's Mashiach's answer. Mashiach says, on their Madrega, let's be clear, not everyone has held that Madrega. On the Madrega of the Shvatim, the fact that the first reaction was, Mazo Salikim Asalikim Anu, then they said, Ava Shem Anachim, but it was step one, step two. Therefore, that was enough to be a Raya to misdeed and then shirk responsibility. Again, that's back in the Mar before. I just forgot to mention it earlier. Okay. Says the Mar further again, totally sidetracked. Once on the topic of Rav Papa, so we say now another story of Papa. We got this from Papa because the three Talmidim were related to the same pasuk we used for Meshach and Miriam. Now it's Stam a separate story, no Shaychus. Rav Shimi Rashi, have a Shichka married to Papa. Rav Shimi Rashi would come to the Shirim of Papa, have a Mashiach too, but he'd ask a Shmak or Shtaker Kashas in the Shir. Yemachad, the Chazi, the Nafa Ape. One time Rav Shimi saw Rav Papa falling by Tachanan. And Shami Damri heard him say, Rachman al-Tzlan, Mekusuvi the Shimi, Akash Baruchu, should save me from the embarrassment that I get from Shimi. Kabbalah Shtikusa. Shimi accepted upon himself, Shtikus, to be quiet during the Shir, at least. Vasula actually didn't answer any questions. Could be after he still told him his issues, but not in a public forum, not during the Shir. You see from the story something very interesting. You see that, there's two things really over here. First of all, did Rav Papa not want Teres Emes? Did Rav Papa not want to get to the Emes? If Rav Shimi's questions were good questions, if they were good tightness, if they were problematic, so the Chara, why should Rav have an issue with that? It's not easy to sit and have the Shir in public be torn apart, but Lamaisa, what would be the Pshat on that? The idea is that the first speaking is out, that a Vader of Papa didn't want it to be, his tefillah wasn't that Rav Shimi should have slugged him up, and therefore, even if he's mistaken, the mistake shall last. The tefillah was kind of like we say in our tefillah before we learn. We're supposed to say again, Gemara Brachas, about Shleivet of Tekali Yadi VeYikashu BiChaveri. Right? I shouldn't. Sorry. What's the exact question? VeYisbuch Chaveri. Sorry. LeYikashu BaLacha VeYisbuch Chaveri, or the opposite. My friend shouldn't make a mistake, and LeYikashu Chaveri BaLacha VeAsach Bohem. This notion that Rav Papa was just saying it shouldn't come to that in the first place. I should get it right. I should be clear enough with the correct mahalach. The Rav Shimi won't come to embarrass me. Come to put me on the, you know, on put me in a situation that I have to defend myself in the first place. But not chas v'shalom that he was shirking from the getting to Teres Emes, number one. Number two is, you see interesting place where he chose to make this tefillah. He didn't make it in Shemoneh Esrei. He made this tefillah in Tachanun. And it's brought down elsewhere. I'm forgetting where we've seen this in the past. That the power of Tachanun is tremendous. It's specifically, the idea is not to be mafsik between Shemoneh Esrei, Chas v'Shas included, and Tach, not to say one word, not just not speaking of Chas v'Shas, not to be mafsik because it's like a continuation and almost like the climax of after Shemoneh Esrei, the Tachanun is an extremely powerful tefillah. Here this Gemara would be a shtickle riot to that concept. We see it very clearly that's where Papa saved to make his tefillah. Okay. Rish Lakish back to this member that Rabbi Yochanan said that rain comes for Yachid, whereas Parnasa only for Tibur. Rish Lakish Tavar Matu Bishvil Yachid, the Matu comes for Yachid, Dam Rish Lakish. Menah the Matu Bishvil Yachid, another rain comes for an individual. Tchziv Shalom Hashem Matar Beis Malkish Hashem Aisa Chazizim Umetargash Bitin Lam Leish Aisa Basad. The keyword Yachla Kol. You think that Kashmir is making rain for everyone? Tam Lam Leish. Vitanya, Elish, we move the Brisa further on this drasha in a Brisa. Elish, Yachal Chol Sudeisav. Okay, Akash Baruch will make it rain for one person. He'll make it rain just for one person. However, maybe it means for that one person, all that person's field at least. No, Tamar Masada. The pasuk says, Leish, Esev, Basada. It says for that person's specific Sada. Esav, Yachal Chol Sada, maybe it's raining for at least for that full Sada. Tamar Esev, even a part of the Sada. That's how specific the rain could be. Rain could be narrowed down to one person, one field, one part of that field. Kihad, Rav Daniel Bakatino, like Rav Daniel Bakatino. He had a garden. Every day he'd go examine the garden. He'd say, "Amar, this row needs water. This row does not need water." Unbelievable. And where he said the row needs water, rain came over there. Water came into that row. Where he said it doesn't need water, rain didn't come. So it was very specific. That's how nuanced and specific rain could be for the yachid. According to the pasuk, Hashem makes clouds. Is me two questions really. One question is the plural, and one question is the word of chazizim instead of ananim, like this new lashon of chazizim. So first, we're focused on the plural. My chazizim, my Hashem is chazizim. Amar beisi bar kanina melamish kol tzadik tzadik kashbaruchu eisel chaziz b'tzadik. Every tzadik gets his own chaziz to water his fields. He gets his own clouds to water his fields. My chazizim. Amar vidu, what's the lashon of chazizim? So what type of cloud is a chazizim cloud? Amar Biuda, Parachas, it's flying clouds, which the Gemara is going to explain. Amar Yechanan, Simon Lamata Parachas, a sign of rain is that the clouds are flying. My Parachas, Amar Papa, what is my Parachas? Eva Klisha, Tusi Evis Michta. Thin clouds beneath thick clouds demonstrate that there's going to be an impending rain. It's going to be a nice Geshmak rain is coming. That's the Lashon of Parachas, that's the Lashon of these rains, of these Chazizim, which come for each individual Tamach Tzadik, he's Zekhat his own rain. Amar Biuda. Nilakami mitra asi mitra. If you have a small rain, a thin rain that comes before heavy rain, that shows that rain is going to be sustained. Basa mitra, pasak mitra. However, if the thin rain comes after heavy rain, then it slows up, it becomes like a thinner rain, that's a demonstration the rain's about to stop. Mekami mitra asi mitra. This idea we just said a minute ago, if you have a thin rain before the heavy rain, simmanachli, remember that's mahulta, it's like a sifter, a sieve, that first the thin flour passes through, and then the thicker slowly passes through, but first thin, then thicker. Debasa mitra, pus, this is the way to remember it is, the sieve represents heavy rains, or I should say sustained rains. Debasar mitra, pasak mitra, then when we say that after heavy rain comes the thinner rain, that shows, that demonstrates that the rain's going to stop. Simanech, charya, the easy, the dung, the charya of the goat, apparently the way the goat defecates, the way the goat relieves itself is first larger, then it gets smaller. Okay. Ula ikle bavel, ula came to bavel, chaza perches, he saw these flying clouds. I'm a little panamano. He said, oh, clear my stuff and take it in the house because it's about to pour. It's going to be a sustained rain. Hashtag si mitra. Lesayf le asi mitra. Rain didn't come. Amar, what happened? What Ula says, Kiech the Meshakri Bavoi, just like the Babylonians are liars, Hechi Meshakri Mitrao, so too their reign is also false. Their simon of reign is false, just like they're liars. Was it Stam just to dig at them because he was upset he's embarrassed? No, it's exactly what we quoted yesterday from Yechanan. We said, we started today, we referenced outside, actually, one of the things we spoke outside when we started, that one of the reasons Rabbi Yechanan says, the rain stops, why? Because people pledge Stukka, and they get kudos for pledging Stukka Brabim, and then they don't honor the pledge. They don't honor the pledge. That's what he means. Because they're liars, because these people are liars, the rain and the clouds are also liars. It's about to come, it's ready to come, just like they held back their pledge and didn't fulfill it, so to the rain doesn't come down. Similar, another Gemara we have actually in Psachim, in Psachim Daf Peches, he found a bubble, baskets full of dates selling for a zuz, amazingly cheap price for a basket full of dates. Amar, a basket of honey. The honey back in the day was date honey. The basket of the honey in the Zion, the seven, right, the seven Zion Minim is date honey. Amar, a basket of honey sells for only a zuz, bubble ask Katera, and not be asked Katera. A basket of honey sells for zuz, and they're not busy with Katera all day. What are they busy with? It's so cheap to sustain themselves. What happened? Belilah, like many things in life, when it seems too good to be true, it is. Belilah Tziaru, that night, he was affected with major shilshul in the stomach. Amar Ula said the next day, Molly Tzina Sakina Bezuzah, a place for a basket of knives. You only pay a zuz, something that's very tempting, you pay a zuz for it, ends up being knives to cut your body up. And yet, they're still able to learn Torah. In fact, they're able to learn Torah, but more kudos to them, the opposite approach. Tanya. This is going to take us to the end of the Amud. This is a machlekes, where the origin, where does rain come from? Simple discussion. I mean, simple machlekes, please. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Kolim Kulei, Meme Unkis, Husheisa, the entire world drinks from the waters of the ocean. I mean, that's where rain comes from. How does it come from the ocean? The water evaporates, goes up to the cloud, forms clouds, and the clouds become rain. So that the origin of the rain is the ocean. Shneimar ve'ed yalam en aretz v'shka es kol pei adama. Amar Bishua, no, halemem yonkiris meluchanim. The waters of the ocean are salty. And rain waters aren't salty. Amalei, mematikim b'avim. They become sweet in the clouds. The clouds purify them. They become sweet in the clouds. Lizer showed me this morning. He wanted to explain it to me during the shiur already. And he found that Evan Ezra says this, that it doesn't mean that it becomes sweetened in the clouds. In the evaporation process, the salt stays down with the water in the ocean, which is pretty simple. The salt stays down with the ocean, and the water is just what goes up, and therefore it's cold. We're calling it sweet in the cloud, but it's not really sweet in the cloud. It was missing the salt when it got up there. Okay, either way, the point is, it's stam from salt water, but itself is not salty, not a gasha. He says, no. All the waters are, the rain waters are from the upper waters that are stored in Shemaim. We actually had a Gemara yesterday, we quoted there's a big box of rain water stored in heaven, right? Shenemar, lamatar Shemaim, tishtamayim. Elamani mikayim, so what do the pasuk ve'yalim in aretz melam shenon miskaver ve'ilam rakia basically me and p kenoid become me mother shenem yizek matel aidai. So Rishu is going to say very simple, the source of the rain waters is in Shemayim, but it is true that there is some waters that evaporate, they go up, they do form clouds, those clouds open up like a flask like a leather flask. They create openings for the rain that's higher in Shemayim to come through the clouds and come down. But the source of the water is not the ocean. The source of the water is still this water that's stored in the Arubas HaShemayim, and it backs up in Shemayim. Okay. But and these clouds that perforated like a sieve, and it comes and sprinkles water onto the karka. The sieve of water are the clouds of the Shemayim. We spoke about that's part of the godless we spoke about earlier in the Masechta about the Cheker and Cheker, which we're going to speak on again now, is that as much of the water, there's so much vast amounts of water coming down at once, yet it doesn't come down as one big bucket of water. It comes down as separate drops, very close together sometimes, but separate drops, even though in between each drop is not more than a hair breadth of space. Teach you how great is the day of Gshamim, as great as the day that the world was created. From we quoted back on the base about this parenthesis says even further. Same idea comparing the Bris Elam to the Lashonis we use, the Cheker, by rain coming down. Okay, just wanted to rise in this conversation. If rain comes from the ocean or rain comes from Shemayim, according like Rabbi Yeshua. Come on, Azad Chsev, Mashkehar Mal Yosef. The Pasuk says the waters, the mountains, from Mal Yosef. Pretty clear. It means Mal Yosef from the upper chambers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Come on, Rabbi Yeshua. It seems pretty clear, Rabbi Yeshua, that the rainwaters come from Shemayim. Rabbi Lazar will tell you, no, keep his Zalgasim, Mashkehar Mal Yosef. Once the waters evaporated from the ocean and went up, it's cool now, Mal Yosef. Now that went up into the clouds, I'll bring you a right to this answer. The pasuk continues over there, says that the dirt, dust, and the dirt are in Shemayim. That's certainly not found in Shemayim. They got blown up there somehow. They're carried up there by the winds from the earth to the sky, and still you call Shemayim Karle. Nu Hachanami Kibes Haklasam. Once the waters go up there, Mal Yosef Karle. It's called Mal Yosef. Kiman Az Lahad Amar Bichanina. Karnes Kana Meayam Nais Meisar Saimais. Mi Garam Laitzus Shis Malabar. What caused the storage houses to be full with grain? To Haimais, the waters of the deep. That seems to Shlomo Kabbalazar. The rain, which comes from the waters of the deep, sounds like the waters of the ocean, is what caused it to rain. That's a striker right to Kabbalazar. Rabbi Shul will tell you, Hahu, tap words of the page, Yudam and Alf, Bibriya Seshalem. I'm not talking about Dafka by the Bria. When the world was created, Bafka then were the waters that went up high, what came from the waters that were below. But on a day-to-day basis, the waters that come down from rain are waters that are stored in Shemayim, and waters that are stored above, and not coming from the ocean anymore. We'll pause and pick up the Marmot Shem. Have a wonderful day.